This morning will be from Luke, chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. Luke 24, 44 through 49. And I have a little introduction. Here we have one of the final conversations Jesus had with his disciples before he ascended to his throne at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus spoke of his mission to provide salvation as Christ the Messiah. Jesus did his part. He fulfilled the Father's purposes and told his disciples their part is to be his witnesses of the gospel. We have all been given a mission to witness to those in our life experience. And as we heard last night, we have missionaries who are fulfilling their mission to bring the gospel throughout many areas of the world. We have missionaries this morning who will share about their local mission to bring the word of God and the gospel to children. So this is the scripture reading now. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high, the Holy Spirit." And Jesus said, he opened their minds to understand. May that be our prayer, that God would open our minds to understand his word and his truth.
Amen. Amen. Prepare for our offering at this time.
If I could have the ushers come forward. Well, as they make their way down here this morning. What a blessing the worship team has given us. A truly gifted, well-prepared, and passionate, enthusiastic presentation of such powerful hymns and songs. And we thank you for blessing us. Also thank you, our dear brother Joe, for a fantastic discipleship class this morning on Ephesians 6, the armor of God. What a fantastic Bible study we had this morning. We are blessed this morning to have Larry and Deb Porter here. And I would like to say that you have been a tremendous blessing to so many, including myself and my family. Just to kind of give you a little bit of background, I've been involved with Child of Angels and Fellowship as the state board chairman for the past 6 years. 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, I don't want to rain on your parade, but I'll just give you a little bit of an overview. I got a call from John Romano, who most of you have met, and he said, would you be interested in having some missionaries from up here in Maine come down and conduct some backyard Bible clubs? And I said, yeah, sure. And he said, well, you're going to get a call from a man named Larry Porter, and I'll let you take it from there. And sure enough, a couple days later, the phone rings, and, hi, this is Larry from Maine. Now, little did I know what was going to happen after that. Larry and Deb came down with a group of young people, Amber and Mackenzie and Anne, three incredible young people who had been trained in the CYIA Christian Youth in Action, a ministry of Child of Angels and Fellowship, which Larry and Deb are a big part of up there in Maine. And we did backyard Bible clubs here in Coventry. We did them down in South County. We did them in Providence. And it was an incredible week. And so that was great. Little did I know, a little time after that, I would get another call from Larry saying, we've consulted with the Lord, and he has put on our hearts that we're moving to Rhode Island. I said, what? Huh? Yes. And I called our vice chairman, Jack Anderson. I said, Jack, I said, they're moving down here. He's like, let's see what the Lord does. And so I said, well, I said, if the Lord wants it to happen, it'll happen. And then he said, well, we're going to put our house on the market. And I said, well, maybe that'll give us a little bit of time. And then 3 days later, he said, our house sold. And I called Jack again. I said, Jack, we don't have any time. They're coming. And so I didn't realize at the time that God had everything under control. I mean, I'm concerned. I'm like, they have doctors up in Maine. They have a whole life up in Maine. Now they're going to just pick up and move to the right. Do they really know what they're doing? Yes, they knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. They have now been down here for a little over 2 years. And wow, if it's possible for two people to have this kind of an impact, then we know that the Lord God has directed them here. Many children have come to know Christ as their Savior through Larry and Deb's faithful work. And they've become close friends of mine, and they have blessed my family immeasurably. Anyone who was here Friday night, you saw a little bit of an inkling as to why Larry and Deb were put on this earth. Larry and Deb were put here to teach children, and they've been doing that faithfully for the better part of 35 years. Okay? So that's all I'm going to say. You didn't come here to hear me this morning. You came here to hear Larry and Deb, and I would like for you, I don't know if you're both coming up. By the way, Larry and Deb, I can't say Larry without Deb, and I can't say Deb without Larry, and the reason is because they are so linked to each other in everything that they do. All right, they are truly, and I will say this, you are truly an example of a biblical marriage. You are a package that God has blessed so many people with, and now he's blessed Rhode Island, the children of our community, and everyone who knows you both. So I don't know if you're both coming or just you are coming, but whoever it is, come on up here and share. Are we asking the children to stay up for this, or are we dismissing the children? I would like the children to hear this, if we can. Okay.
Here we go.
Take it.
Here we go. Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be here and a blessing to be a part of God's family. Amen?
Amen.
The family of God. It was a beautiful time of worship. The songs were great. Glad you picked those wonderful worship songs. Thank you for your partnership with Child Evangelism Fellowship Rhode Island and with Debbie and me as we serve here together. Debbie said to me when I said, "Honey, I believe God wants us to go to Rhode Island." She met me in the hallway in our house and she says, "I'm not selling my house." She didn't know it was God that was going to sell it. So she says, "I'm not moving from my new house." We'd had it 3 years, and it was her dream house. So about a week later, she met me in the hallway again. She said, "Honey, if God's calling you Rhode Island, we're going." So just praise God for how he works in our hearts and our lives. So Friday night was wonderful. Deb and I, yeah, boy, you talk about a link, linked together. I mean, it was, she's an incredible part of our ministry. I couldn't do it without her, and she couldn't do it without me. And so I just praise the Lord for the many volunteers that help us to model Christ to 13 children. And we learned about Jesus' love, didn't we, kids? We learned about Jesus' love, and then he loves everyone. I asked the kids, I said, "Do you know somebody that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior from sin?" Some said no. Some said yes. Little boy said, after a while, he says, "My grandma doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior." So it took a little while. But they understood. They understood the importance of loving others, sharing the gospel with those that don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Well, we had a wonderful time talking about the Samaritan woman and how the Samaritans hated the Jews, but Jesus loved the Samaritans. Jesus made a long walk just to come to talk to one Samaritan woman. She came to know Christ as her Savior, and what'd she do? She went and told. That's missions. She went and told. The guys came down to see Jesus, listened to him with their own ears, and believed on the Lord Jesus as their Savior from sin. What a wonderful time talking about Jesus' love and how that we should love one another. One another. Learn to play a few games. We throwing socks around down there. Boy, did we mess up that auditorium or down there. I mean, we just moved things around. Those poor girls had so much to do Saturday, all day Saturday, to get that room ready. I mean, we messed it up good. But boy, did we have fun. Amen? We had fun throwing socks, and we made a few projects. And my favorite project, you would not believe. This is not a paper airplane. This is not. You watch it. It's not a paper airplane. This is a jet. I told you. All my life, I've made airplanes. Never have I made an airplane that flies like that one. That flies like that one.
You can keep that young man, and you can actually duplicate it. I have one home just like it, and I was not going to give my example away, but you can keep that one. You can keep that one. Thank you for allowing us to use our gifts, the gifts that God has given us, to use that for His honor and glory with those kids last night. There's no greater joy than to serve the Lord God with the gifts that He has given us. Ephesians chapter 1. Started memorizing this. I love this chapter. Brian's probably got it all memorized. Paul writes to the Ephesian church. He says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ," listen to this, "to Himself according to His will." He had a plan long before I was born, long before Debbie was born. He had a plan. He had a plan. He knew. He even knew where we were going to meet. He had a plan. He had a plan before we were even born. God led Debbie and me to a mission-minded church much like this one here. We had week-long mission conferences, so you know that was a while back, right? Week-long. Every single night we were there hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit every single night, 7 o'clock. Get home from work, throw down some food, and off to church she went. Our speaker was a representative of HCJB, Heralding Christ Jesus, and it's a radio station in Quito, Ecuador. And so every night he would share a little bit about the radio station in Quito, Ecuador, and then he would preach the Word of God. Well, God was tugging at my heart. But when the invitation was given, I said, "God, I don't know a thing about radios. I don't know anything about electricity. And I don't know anything about antennas." And so I wouldn't go forward. So finally, the invitation was given again. Every night, the invitation was given to come and give your life wholly to Christ, to go wherever He wanted you to go, to do whatever He wanted you to do. And finally, I said to God, I said, "God, I don't know what You want, but here I am." And so I came forward and gave my life to Christ. And so little did I know that not too long after that, my pastor met me in the, as we're leaving the church, he was standing there greeting folks, and he comes over and just as gentle and kind as he was, and put his arm around me, and he says, "Mr. Larry," they didn't call me Mr. Larry then, but they have ever since, "Larry, would you and your wife consider taking leadership of the bus evangelism ministry?" And we said, I don't think we said we'll pray about it. I just think we said we'll do it, and so we did. That first year, we started with one little old international bus. I think it was a 6-cylinder. And boy, did it scream. But had 13 kids on that. God continued to bless that ministry. We had 2 buses now. Lots of volunteers, volunteer bus drivers. We had 2 routes now. We're going all over the country. Well, that country. And so we're going all over around Rochester and Ontario and Walworth and all of those places. And then there were 3 buses. And then there were more volunteers and more bus drivers and more kids, reaching over 90 kids with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in that bus ministry. I was loving it. I was really loving it. I was really loving it. You know, God was working, wasn't he? God was working. He was calling us to full-time ministry with children. That's what he was doing. That's what he was doing. So, at what age was he calling you? At full-time ministry with children? Only 40. 40 years old? You're old. Nah. When I gave my resignation to my boss and told her that we were going to serve the Lord with children, she says, well, she says, if it doesn't work out, we got a place for you. Little did she know that it wasn't my plan. It was God's plan. It was God's plan. If we look at Philippians chapter I better look here. Chapter 1, verse 6. Here's what it says. Philippians 1, verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So there was no stopping it. No stopping it. He did his work. So it was his work. It was God's plan. Last night, some of the folks mentioned modeling Christ. Modeling Christ. We think of modeling Christ, we know that Jesus loves children. The nation of Israel was sacrificing children to false gods, weren't they? What did Jesus do? Look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. What did Jesus do? So the folks were bringing the kids to Jesus. The folks were doing that. And the disciples rebuked him. And Jesus says, no. He said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For such is the kingdom of God. And what did he do? I love this part here. And he took them up in his arms, and he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Jesus loves the children, all the children of the world. Kids love this song. I love it too. 1, 2, 3, Jesus loves me. 1, 2, whoops, Jesus loves you. 3 and 4, he loves you more than you've ever been loved before. 5, 6, 7, we're going to heaven. 8 and 9 is truly divine. 9 and 10, it's time to win. But instead, we'll sing it again. Now you know it, so you can help me. 1, 2, 3. After Sunday school, I taught Sunday school at our church one Sunday, and after Sunday school, I get word from a mom how tickled she was when her daughter came running into the kitchen, and she said, Jesus loves me. That's what I taught in Sunday school. We sang that song, and that's what I taught in Sunday school. Do it with me. Jesus loves. 6 years old. This was a couple of weeks after Sunday school. She hadn't forgotten it. The kids need to know that today. Say amen. Amen. Jesus loves me. He loves us with a love that lasts forever. Children are not being taught that God loves them, that Jesus loves them. They're not being taught that God made them and that he made them special. We're gonna be here for a while, so turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I'm sorry, Mr. Ryan. Pastor Ryan, I did not time this. I did not time this. I wrote it this morning. God said to me this morning when I woke up, he said, Larry, what you've got written down is not what I want you to share. This is what I want you to share. Here it is. Jesus says this about his dad, his father, God. Listen to what he says in 14. I'm sorry, Matthew 18, 14. Here it is. And stay there because we're going to use this a couple of times. Even so, it is not the will of who? Your father. Where is he? Which is in heaven. Who is that? That's God. God, Jesus loves children. God loves children. Why do I do what I do? Because Jesus loves children. Because God loves children. God loves children so much that he made a way for children to be forgiven of their sin. That's how much he loves children. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down to earth to be the savior of the world, of children. Little boy was after five-day club. After five-day club, I get an email a couple weeks after five-day club, and the mom is so excited. She is off the wall excited. Right in the middle of breakfast, her son begins to sing. He's 6 years old. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus died for me. Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ is risen. He arose. Song that we sang in five-day club. Pastor was talking about good, solid, doctrinal songs. This is a good, solid, doctrinal song. At 6 years old, 2 weeks after five-day club, in the middle of breakfast, he starts singing this song. Starts singing. Jesus, God sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross that children might come to know him as their own personal Savior, as their own personal Savior. Okay, let's read it again together. Let's read it again. We'll start out. Even so, let's read it. It is not, let's read it together out loud. It is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Good News Club. Good News Club in Maine. I think the most I ever had was four kids in the club, right in the school. They let us use the art room in the school. I don't remember his name, but that's his name's not important. First day of club. You know where he was when I was teaching? He's laying across that big round table. Big, huge round, you know, like that in a business office. Great big round table. He's laying right across that table. Sometimes he was under it. Sometimes he was under the art table. Sometimes he was in the office chair spinning around. Even so, it is not the will of our Father. Don't do that, Debbie. That one of these little ones should perish. Thank you.
not the will of your Father which is in heaven? That one of these little ones should perish. Little girl on Good News Club in New York would not always came into the second row. So she was in your row. Always came and sat in the second row. And she was picking on the kids in front of her. She wouldn't sit down. She wouldn't listen. She just was up and wouldn't follow the rules. She was up, she was down, she was talking, she was disturbing the kids beside her. One day, God the Holy Spirit spoke to her heart through the invitation. And she said yes to God. She received the Lord Jesus as her own personal Savior, and just like somebody turned on a light switch, she was different in the day and night. In fact, she wanted to be the one that was telling the other kids to say, shh. She wasn't making a list, but even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Kademan, if you were here last night, you met Kademan, didn't you? I think he's 5 now, but he was 4. Kademan was 4. He's still 4. Kademan's 4. Thank you. We taught a Good News Club at Kademan's house. Kademan memorized every single song that we sang. He probably could sing this one. Memorized them all. 4 years old. He's singing them around the house. Chris was telling us. Jeannie was telling us, he's singing the songs, and he was. He can sing them. He does a good job singing them. Little Kademan, 4 years old. Kademan. Up there's a school. There's about 300 kids that come to that school. I say about because I don't know exactly. Deb and I were there 2 weeks ago on Tuesday. They're giving us the cafeteria. They have a good meal. Come on in. We had a prayer meeting on Tuesday. We didn't have any kids. Following Tuesday, last Tuesday, came to the cafeteria, signed in, went downstairs and waited. Called all the buses off. I don't even think we saw any kids. We had a prayer meeting Tuesday. Principal says, I'll let you do another week. I'll pass out the invitations, the permission slips, and we'll give you 2 more weeks. So they're gone now. They went home yesterday or Friday. They went home on Friday. So will you pray? Will you pray? 300 kids that Jesus died for coming into that school. We got a whole cafeteria. We got a team. Will you pray? 300 kids that need to hear, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Will you pray? Will you pray? Ryan talked a little bit about CYIA and McKinsey. McKinsey's now at New Brunswick Bible Institute, and I believe McKinsey worked for the whole summer up at Northern Maine. McKinsey wants to work with CEF. McKinsey wants to work with CEF. Where am I? Lost my place. Jesse. Jesse grew up in a Good News Club. Jesse grew up in a Good News Club. She came to CYIA, went to camp. She's now the local director in Eastern Maine. Been the local director for a couple of years. Lindsay went to the Dominican Republic with us on a short-term mission trip. CYIA, went to Good News Club when she was little, went to CYIA, got the training. She worked summers in Central Maine to teach 5-day clubs. Lindsay is now a full-time child evangelism fellowship. Went to the New Brunswick Bible Institute, got her training, just went out to Warrenton, Missouri, got more training. She's now full-time working with Lindsay in Eastern Maine. pastor went on two mission trips with us overseas. Went overseas one time and went to Boston another time.
Indianapolis,
thank you. And so, see why we're a good team, huh? We live together. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. So Catherine's gone to New Brunswick Bible Institute, wants to work full-time in Central Maine. Wants to work full-time in Central Maine.
Is
there
a CMI now?
I think they're maybe, I don't know. Depends. Chris St. Clair. Chris St. Clair. Went to interview. We interview all of these young people before they come to CYI. Interview them all. Sat down with Chris and interviewed Chris. Didn't even know what a quiet time was. A little bit of pride there. Yes. Okay. A little bit of pride there. He says, but I helped my mother in Sunday school. So we thought, we'll put Chris in the second year program rather than beginning him at the lower level. And so we'll put him in the second year program. So in the second year program, you get the full, you get the whole bucket. Everything. So you're teaching, learning how to teach kids, teaching them a memory verse. You're teaching a Bible lesson here, teaching songs. You're doing a whole hour program for these kids. That's in the second year program. So, you get the whole ball wet. So Chris found out when he did his first lesson demonstration, he says to me, I guess I need a little help. So that God's question is right. So Chris is not full-time CEF, but he wants to be a teacher out at CEF Institute. Benaiah Saeed is at New Brunswick Bible Institute. He went on a mission trip with us. Kevin Lankerson was the local director who took over for us. And Kevin Lankerson now is an assistant pastor at his church. Trent Boyd was the local director in Southern Maine, where Debbie and I were, is full-time pastor. His son now is going to work in Northern Maine at the camp in Northern Maine. Just, I could go on and on and on about this. I'm not bragging about Central Maine. I am bragging about Central Maine. I'm bragging about what God has done. And so I'm praying, and will you pray too? Do it again, God. Do it again. Do it again right here in Rhode Island. Do it again. God, we did CYIA 2 years. We've done it Zoom with Massachusetts. Last year we did it in person in Massachusetts. But guess what? We had no representatives, no young people from Rhode Island. None. Will you pray? Will you pray that God will do it again and do it here in Rhode Island? Will you pray that God will raise up young people to be in CYIA again this summer, but be with us representing Rhode Island? So that they can come back and do the things that Ryan was just talking about. Come and do 5-day clubs. Will you pray that way? Will you pray? Please pray. They were talking about prayer last night. Will you pray for that school up there? That the parents will say, yes, I want my kids to be a part of that program. Will you pray?
If we would like to take the kids downstairs, free to do that, or they can stay, it's fine either way. Thank you, Larry. You're a dear brother. Your commitment to serving the Lord with the gifts that He has given you has been an example to me and so many others. And I just want to thank you for being here this morning and sharing with us. And I share your emotion. I share your emotion. And I grieve for the children. I grieve for the children because they are confused. The reason our children are confused is because they are being lied to. Our children are being lied to every single day. They're being lied to. What do I mean? We have in our children a crisis of identity. Our children do not know who they are. Our children do not know why they're here. And our children do not know what they're supposed to be doing. What are the implications of this? Our Lord, in Mark chapter 12, was tested, as he often was, by the Pharisees, and in this case, the Herodians. You know, the Pharisees and the Herodians, they hated each other, but when they could come together and attack Jesus, they were all too willing to do it. In verse 13, and they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to him. Again, this is Mark 12, 13. They sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to him in order to trap him in a statement. And they came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are truthful and you defer to no one, for you are not partial to any, but you teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay a poll tax to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay?" But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, "Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at." And they brought him one. And he said, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." And Jesus said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God's the things that are God's." Now, what should the follow-up question have been? What is God's? What is God's? And how would that question have been answered? Whose image is on you? Whose image is on you? Genesis 1:26, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness.'" Children everywhere are struggling with identity because they are being told every day that their identity is their sexuality. What a lie. What a lie. How did Jesus address such a question? In Matthew 19:3 and following, some Pharisees came to Jesus testing him, asking him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all?" And he answers and said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" What a lie that our children are being told. Jesus answered a question about sexuality by going back to their creator. Identity relates to our creator. Children are not being told this. Children are being told that their identity and meaning comes from their sexuality, worldly success, likes on Facebook, the extent to which they engage in some sort of cause, whatever that cause may happen to be, their ethnic background, their race, their family history, their location, their vocation, it's all lies. Identity comes from our Creator. Identity determines value. Our value is determined by our Creator. Jeremiah 1:5. Jeremiah said, "Please, Lord, I can't speak." God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I set you apart before you were even born. I knew you, Jeremiah." Moses came to God and said, "Please don't send me. I can't speak." Moses said to God, "Please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, not recently, nor in times past, nor since you have spoken to me now. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. The Lord said, who has made your mouth? Who makes man mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, said the Lord? How many children are looking at themselves and deciding that they don't like what they see? Because they don't understand that they were created special and unique with the touch of God on their hearts, on their souls. And they look in the mirror and they don't like themselves. And they hear how other people speak of them and they don't like what they hear. And they're laughed at or they're bullied or they're intimidated and they don't like it. Where do they turn to? The geniuses in the public schools who fill their heads with lies. Question. If they knew that they were created special and unique by the God of all creation, would it make a difference? Would it make a difference if they knew that? Psalm 139 says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know me. How many children are going to go to bed tonight and look up at the ceiling and ask, does anybody understand me? Can anybody understand me? Question. Would it make a difference if they knew there was a God in heaven who is intimately acquainted with all their ways, who knows exactly what their fears are, who knows exactly what their hesitations are, who knows exactly what excites them, who knows exactly what they fear, who knows exactly what their dreams and hopes are? Would it make a difference? Who is telling this to our children? Larry and Deb are. Once children know that there's a God who loves them, will they not want to know more? Finally, someone has told me that there's a God who created me. Finally, there is someone who has told me that there is a God who understands me. Please tell me more. Would it make a difference if they knew that the God who created them, the God of the universe, has made himself available for one to actually call themselves a child of God? John 1:12 said, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. What is eternal life? Jesus defined that, John 17:3. For this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life. This is the gift that awaits these children. The gift of knowing intimately the one who intimately knows them. The one who knows their thoughts before they even think them. The one that knows the words that are on their tongue before they say them. The one who knows their fears and their anxieties and their hesitations. The one who knows exactly what they're going through because he's intimately acquainted with all their ways. That one, the one who created them special and unique, the one who gave his son for them, they can know that one intimately. Question, would it make a difference if these children knew the God who created them is accessible, as accessible as a child is to his mom or dad who loved them. So therefore, what are the implications? What are the implications? These children are being told that they need to grow up and do something special to change the world. Be your best self. Be awesome. Be awesome. What does that even mean? What a stupid thing to say. It's the best the world has to offer, people. It's the best the world has to offer. It's empty. It's hollow. It's shallow. It's a lie. It's a lie. You need to pursue your dreams. Why? Why? You haven't yet told me why I'm even here. You haven't even told me yet what meaning my life has. What dreams? But when a child knows there's a God in heaven who loves them, when a child knows that there is a God in heaven whom they can be a child of through the Son, when a child knows there is a God in heaven who is intimately acquainted with all their ways, now all of a sudden the purpose for their life is inextricably linked to that God. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ for the purpose of good works, which he, God, has preordained that we would walk in them. Now all of a sudden, that child can know you have a whole life ahead of you, and God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. He has a reason for your being here. Would it make a difference if a child knew that the God who created him or her has a special purpose for his life? That there was an entire life ahead of him or her that his creator has prepared uniquely for that child. Would this give purpose and hope to a child who otherwise does not have it? What does God want that child to do with this? 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every single day, that child can draw nearer to his Creator by growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Does that make a difference? Question, would it make a difference if a child knew that he or she could spend the rest of his life growing closer to the God who loves him so much? Would it make a difference? Would it change a child's life? I introduced a verse last week during our family Bible study time, and as you know, I love the whole scriptures. I have a special, special, special place in my heart for the book of Ecclesiastes. Why do I have a special place in my heart for the book of Ecclesiastes? Because it's so real. It is so raw. Here you have the one who had it all. The one who had it all. What do you want in life? You want success? You want a great empire? You want a big business? You want a great profession? Okay, you can have it. You want wealth? How much do you want? Throw a number out. You can have it. You want fame? You want power? How much do you want? What status do you want? You can have it. You want pleasure? Don't hold back. Take it all. Anything you want, as you want it, when you want it, how you want it, you can have it. You want land? You want beauty? You can have it. This coming from the one who actually had it. And you know what he said? It's all vanity. It's all vanity and striving after win. Trust me, I've had it. Haven't held back from any of it. Haven't held myself back from any of it. I got it all. And now I'm at the end of my life, and what I'm telling you, it's vanity of vanities. Go ahead and try it. You'll find out. And then he gets to Ecclesiastes 12. And this portion of scriptures, it jars you. It cuts you to the core. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. I will submit that one of the reasons why we see so much anger and unrest in our times today is because never in the history of this country have so many forgotten their Creator from the days of your youth, and they despair even of their own life. They hate life. But they have distractions. So distractions dull the pain a little bit. We've got the next sporting event that we can look forward to. We've got the next silly, stupid, ridiculous thing to look forward to. And that dulls the pain of the reality that I hate life. Because if I was left to just my own quiet innermost thoughts, I would be suicidal. Because I hate my life. That's what Solomon is saying. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Now he's about to describe the ending of a man or a woman. And it's not pretty. This is not going to be pretty. But remember the importance of remembering your Creator in the days of your youth. Because if you remember your Creator from the days of your youth, it won't be this way, independent of a future hope. And the God who loves you, created you, and whom you have a future with. Before the sun, the light, and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. Solomon is describing the misery of old age. Periods of diminishing joy and increasing gloom. The decreasing of the vitality of a person. That's what he's describing here. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble, when the arms and the legs grow weak. That's what that means. That's what I believe that means. When the arms and the legs grow weak, and strong men bow down, when the grinders cease to be because they are few. I believe that is speaking of when the teeth become fewer and fewer. And those that look through the window grow dim when the eyesight begins to fail. When the doors are shut in the street, meaning I believe that the lips are starting to sink in. And the sound of grinding is low. When one rises up at the sound of a bird, speaking to the inability to sleep at night. And all the daughters of music are brought low. This is when the hearing starts to become impaired. Also, they are afraid of height and tremors in the way. This speaks to a lack of vigor and a fear of danger and inability to protect oneself. When the almond trees blossom, when the hair turns white or disappears entirely, turns gray, when the grasshopper is a burden, this is the loss of liveliness and youthfulness, and desires fail, diminishing appetites to eat and other things. For man goes to his eternal home, the grave, and the mourners go about the streets. We're all going to face this. All of us. And what he's saying is if you don't remember your Creator from the days of your youth, you will hate your very existence as this starts to happen. Because you will have spent your entire life linking your identity and your purpose and your meaning and your perspective to the things which are now all failing you. And you will wake up one day and realize, I have nothing to put my hope in. I have nothing to rely on. I have no basis for any happiness, peace, or contentment in my life. But if we remember our Creator in the days of our youth, and we walk with Him, and we walk with Him, and He walks with us, we fear no evil. Why? Because, oh God, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, because you are with me. What a lie we tell children when we tell them to be awesome. Be your best self. What a lie. These people should be ashamed of themselves. Because they know better, because they are experiencing this as they grow older. And they are recognizing, yeah, there really is nothing here to put my trust and my hope and my confidence in. They've lived enough life to know that all the things that they're telling these children will make them happy won't make them happy, won't bring them peace, won't bring them fulfillment. They know that, yet they continue to lie to these children. Why? Because they refuse to accept the truth. They are, Romans 1:18, as it says, they suppress the truth and unrighteousness. They refuse to submit to the truth that there is a God in heaven who defines meaning, purpose, value. We will not submit to that, so we will continue to tell our children lies. They don't tell those children lies when they go into those schools. So I submit that as Larry requested, we spend time in prayer for these children. We spend time in prayer for their families. We pray for open doors for them to hear of the God who created them special and unique. Because if they don't remember their Creator from the days of their youth, with every passing day where they learn that all the things that they've ever been told will make them happy actually won't make them happy, they will despair of their very life. And some of them are doing that right now. The suicide rate has never been higher. Young people are literally ending themselves. Why are they ending themselves? Is it really their fault? When they're told by people who they trust, this will make you happy, and then they find out it really won't, and that happens repeatedly, over and over and over again? Can we really sit here and hold them responsible? It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. And we must ask God for open doors to tell them the truth, that Jesus Christ died on that cross so that they could be freed. They could become children of God. They can know their Creator, and they can spend the rest of their lives drawing near and growing in their intimacy with the one who loves them, the one who created them special and unique. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the open doors of the gospel to go forth. Father, we pray for the children of our community. We pray for the children of our country. Pray for the children all over the world, Father, who don't know their Savior, who are growing up not knowing that there is a God in heaven who created them special and unique, who wove them intricately in their mother's womb, who has a plan, a preordained plan from eternity past. And in knowing the Son and receiving the Son, to them, they can be called a child of God. Father, I pray for Larry and Deb. Father, for the incredible giftedness that you've given them and the faithfulness with which they carry those gifts out, Father. Thank you, Father, for their passion for reaching children. Thank you, Father, for bringing them here to Rhode Island and for the lives they've touched already and for the lives that they will touch. We pray for their health. We pray for their vigor and all the ways that you have called them to bring the truth to these children, Father. And we pray for a softening on the part of those, Father, who don't have any answers, that they would recognize their own inability to provide answers to these children. And instead, Father, of telling them lies, they would themselves submit to the truth that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except by him. In Christ's name, amen. Pastor Joe.